Hey guys, this is the Angry Prepper. Thank you for joining me today. Today's episode, episode 13, is going to be on don't be an arrogant prick while you're out in the wilderness. All right, so the reason for this discussion is over the last few years, I've noticed and or seen people thinking they are the next Dave Canterbury or Les Stroud, running out there into the wilderness, haphazardly being careless. Thinking they have the ultimate survival skill set, when in the simple fact, they don't. Now, I can attest to arrogance in the wilderness, as I was caught out there one time, and that was probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned since then. Right? Don't be an arrogant prick when you're going out in the wilderness. Don't think the wilderness is a safer place to be, because if you don't know what you're doing out there, you can die going on a simple hike, right? People die, looks like every year out in Arizona, Texas, Nevada, in the hot states during the summer months, just going on a simple hike. Nothing strenuous. They're not climbing any mountains. They die from dehydration. Right, so now they underestimated the walk. Whether it was a mile, 3 miles, or 5 miles, they underestimated their body. They underestimated the weather. So, just because you're an avid hiker does not mean you're an avid hiker of the Northeast. Doesn't mean you can go to Nevada and hike in a desert, right? Your body's not going to react the same to a hot, dry environment versus the cool, moist environment you just came from, right? With that being said, before you go anywhere that's new to you, you have to research it thoroughly before heading out, right? You're not just going to go out there and go, well, I can hike 23 miles, you know, no big deal. But then you go out to Nevada or Arizona, and after 2 miles, you're panting and dry heaving because of the heat, right? So, before I get to my story of mishaps, if you will, the other thing about being arrogant is I've spoken to a few people. I'm not going to say many. I'm going to say a few people who thought they knew what they were doing. When I run into people who, for example, will tell me they know everything there is to know about wilderness survival, I can all but call bullshit on that, because anybody who tells you they know everything about any subject, you can almost call bullshit on it, right? There's always something to learn, and it's almost impossible to know everything, right? And I know it's sort of I'm being technical with words, but the minute the person tells me they know everything about, like, again, wilderness survival or emergency preparedness, I call bullshit on it. And I usually call them out, but not directly, right? So I'm not going to sit there, bullshit, you don't know what you're talking about. No. I just start testing them with certain questions. And 90% of the times, these people have failed just the most basic questions in emergency preparedness or wilderness survival, right? So be careful who you tell about your survival skills, because someday you might have to actually put it to the test. Now, there was one guy in particular that I sort of called him on it, because we went on an outing. His clothing was brand spanking new. Every piece of equipment he pulled out of his bag was brand spanking new. So one side of me was just like, all right, red flag. But I was like, well, maybe he just bought new gear for this outing. So I sort of let it go. But nonetheless, it was sort of like a check or a strike, if you will. And as the weekend went on, I started to see his bullshit unfold. After everything was said and done, I spoke to him on the side about saying what he knows and what he doesn't. And he still persisted to say he knew what he knew. He was just having a bad week. I'm going to tell you something about going out into the wilderness and having a bad weekend. There's no such thing. A bad weekend's going to kill you. Simple. You can't get a fire started in a winter weekend, right? A winter outing weekend. You're going to die from hypothermia, right? If you don't know how to find water or filter water, you're going to die from dehydration, right? You have to know your level of skill set, right? You have to know what you can and cannot do. And you have to be brutally honest with yourself about what you can and cannot do. Now, this goes with damn near anything in life. But when we talk about wilderness survival or emergency preparedness, you have to be honest with yourself. Now, I know that I'm not the greatest outdoorsman to ever live, nor will I be, right? I think I am average. I don't think that I'm, good. I just think that I'm average. I think that if I went out there, you gave me a knife, I could hold my own, right? But I can't do certain things out there still, right? I'm still practicing a lot of skills, right? Like, I'm perfecting my bow drill skills, right? I am starting to learn fire plowing, right? I'm learning how to build more complex shelter structures out in the wilderness, right? Which is pretty hard here in New York State, because you have to cut down a lot of trees to get a decent shelter built. Now, in an emergency situation, you're just going to take whatever's laying on the ground and build a shelter, right? But I'm talking about one of those bushcraft shelters that you see on Instagram or on YouTube, and you're like, man, I want to build one of those. And of course, for it to last long, you need to cut down green trees and branches and things like that. So anyway, with that being said, again, my skill sets are not that great. There are some women out there who can put me to shame, right? And the one female that I know that comes to mind is Survival Lily. She is really good. I am not afraid to admit that she's better than me, right? When it comes to wilderness survival, she is good. There are a ton of guys out there that are good. I'm still trying to learn. And even if I learned everything there is to know about wilderness survival, there is actually no such thing about everything there is to know about wilderness survival, because you can always think of a better way to do something, or you see a better way of something being done and you apply it out there, right? And there's probably like a million and one different things you can do involving wilderness survival. So let me get into the story about my arrogance in the wilderness. Now, I go out in the wilderness. I already know that I don't know everything there is, right? I've stated that probably a few hundred times already. But this one particular incident, I thought I had it under control. And I guess the situation got away from me faster than I thought. And it winded up not killing us, but came pretty close to it, right? So me and my buddy, we go camping. And we get out to a location out in the Catskills. I think it was Wyndham Peak in the Catskills. And I broke my first rule of showing up to the location at night. Now, the reason why I don't suggest anyone roll up to any camp spot at night during the winter months is because, especially up in the Catskills, it gets below zero, right? It can get down to like, I think, minus, let's say, 30 degrees, right? So we get to the parking lot, and the sun's already going down, right? It's already below the mountain on our west, right? To the west of us. So we're like, ah, screw it. We got this. We're going to, you know, head to the lean-to, set up camp, and be fine. Well, as we start trekking, there's snow on the ground. Snow's not that deep, but it still slowed us down enough that it took us about an hour and like 10 minutes to get to the lean-to, which was at the top of the, not the top of the mountain, but I think it was 200 feet up, right, or 150 feet up, something like that. So we get to the lean-to. Just as we get to the lean-to, the wind starts picking up. Now, it might have been picking up because it was higher up, but we get there and it's howling, right? So now the temperature dropped even more. I think at that point, we were at probably 2-3 degrees, right? When we showed up to the parking lot, it was already freezing. It was already 32 degrees. So we get to the lean-to, the wind's howling. We're trying to figure out what to do. It's dark, it's cold. We're like, first thing, set a fire. We try to set a fire. We must have spent an hour trying to get a decent fire started. The problem was the wind was blowing directly into the lean-to and it was blowing the fire out. Now, we did start looking around for, blockers, right? So we were going to set up a wind blocker, or wind deflector, sorry, in front of the fire. Therefore, we can get the fire started. But we couldn't find anything because everything was buried underneath 2 feet of snow. So that was another problem. So we ditched that. My buddy wanted to set up a tent. And he says we could both jump inside. And like the, you know, arrogant prick I am, I was like, nope, I'm not sleeping in a tent with you. Fuck that. I'll brave the elements, right? Okay, already. Stupid comment number like 34 in that night. So he doesn't set up his tent because he doesn't want me to sleep outside by myself. And I know some of you are thinking, screw that, you would have set up the tent and got inside and left me out to freeze. Right, so he didn't want to jump in a tent either. So now we both slept in the lean-to. But again, like I said earlier, the wind was blowing into the lean-to. So that created a problem in itself. So we did set up a barrier. We took a tarp. We set up a tarp to cut the wind around us, which helped a little bit. Now by then, the temperature was like -7 degrees. So now we jump in our sleeping bags. Now the sleeping bags we both had were both graded to below freezing. I think mine went down to -15 and his, probably the same. But he also had a Dave Canterbury wool blanket. So that helped him out a lot. So as the night goes on, the temperature continues to drop. It got down to the low -27. At that point, I'm in the bag. Whatever extra clothing I had, I put in the bag with me to keep me warm. And we roughed out the night. Now, during the night, my feet were freezing the entire night. My hands were cold the entire night. I had hand warmers, but they seemed to not work as well. They got hot. They just didn't seem to warm my hands up again. And this went on all night. And we were up the whole night, right? There was a piece of flap from the tarp. There was a piece of tarp flapping in the wind. And that just, that kept us up all night. Now, I thought he was sleeping most of the night. And he thought I was sleeping most of the night. So when 6 o'clock came around when the sun broke. I said, I'm like, John, you awake? He's like, yeah, I've been awake all night. I couldn't believe we were up all night and we said not one word to each other. I guess I didn't want to bother him and he didn't want to bother me. Or he was just pissed at me for putting him in that situation. Well, needless to say, we both laughed about it, down the road. But he was pretty banged up because when we got up, he couldn't feel his feet. I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel my hands. I didn't want to check my feet because, I would have had to take my boots off just to see if they were, frostbitten. And like I said, at one point, they started to hurt. So I got a little nervous. But I was like, fuck it. If I lose my toes, it wouldn't be the end of the world. So he gets going ahead of me. He packs all his stuff. He gets going. I can't feel my hands, so I just start jamming everything in the bag, using my wrist to get everything packed in there. And then as I started to walk, I couldn't walk straight because I couldn't feel my feet. So I'm stumbling around like a drunk. It was like, it's the worst. Then I got my footing, and I had to walk really slow. It was almost like a newborn drunk trying to walk, right? So I took my time. Then my feet started getting sensation back, and then I was able to walk a little faster. So anyway, we get back to the car. We were supposed to hit another location after that one. We called it quits that morning, went home. But when we got in the car, when we got in the car, we checked our hands. We both had a frost nip. Our fingertips were blue. And when I got home, I found out that my toes were, of course, had a blue tinge to it. They weren't blue, like frostbitten blue. Frost nip is like a bluish tinge to the tips of your extremities, your fingers and your toes. So that was pretty much the onset of frostbite. Now, about being arrogant, as you can see right then and there, I thought my gear was good enough to hold me through the night. And it did, considering it got down to minus 27. But had we stayed out there a little longer, we could have possibly lost our fingers and our toes, right? So the moral of that story is don't be a dick. And don't be an arrogant dick at that. Know exactly what you're capable of doing. Know what your gear is capable of doing, right? Don't press your gear past its limitations, right? Keep that in mind. Know your limitations and make your skills better, right? So had we gotten out there earlier, we could have gotten a fire started. It wouldn't have been a problem for the rest of the night, right? So do yourself a favor. If you know the temperature is going to get down to below 27 degrees at night, leave earlier. Get there while the sun's up. Get there while you can still find firewood, while you could cut down firewood, and then set your camp up before the sun goes down. Try not to do it at night, and try not to do it at night during the winter months. The summer months, really doesn't matter. You can get away with it. I do it enough in the summer months, but in the winter months, I don't ever go past sundown. And that was the one rule I broke, and I paid for it for the rest of the night. All right, guys. So, again, with that being said, do yourself a favor. Learn everything there is to know about wilderness survival, right? And it's not only wilderness survival, wilderness thriving. You want to thrive out in the wilderness. You just don't want to survive, right? You want to be able to go outdoors, live comfortably, right? Whether that's for a night, a weekend, or a week, you want to be able to thrive out in the wilderness, not just survive, right? Surviving is just getting you from one day to the next, but thriving is having you live comfortably in the wilderness. All right, guys. So this is The Angry Prepper. Thank you for listening. You could watch me on YouTube under The Angry Prepper Outdoors and The Angry Prepper Urban. And if you have any other comments or anything to add to this discussion, you can email me at angryprepper@gmail.com. All right, guys. Thank you for listening.